think for us, it is just true admin appeals are somewhere between about 10 to 15% of our docket. When you add government cases, modified de novos, tax cases, things of that nature, it's somewhere between about 20 and 25%. And sometimes the line between those aren't as clear as it might seem to be between an original proceeding and an administrative appeal. As you all know, they are different than our usual dockets, which are a central docket. They are assigned to us under Local Rule 10, and they are our each individual cases.
I would say ours probably run about 20% as well. Third Court of Appeals, as you know, because we sit in the Capitol, gets the bulk of the administrative law appeals. Much to the chagrin of the other courts, they all really wish that they had them as well. And we sort of joke that each administrative appeal is probably the workload of 6 to 8 of our normal cases, but probably 20% of what we see. And looking at it, it looks like year to year, we'll issue anywhere from 70 to 90 cases a year having to do with some aspect of an administrative appeal. We see a lot of cases in TCEQ, a lot of PUC, pretty much any state agency that's issuing orders and has a process either internally or through SOA winds its way through the Travis County District Courts and makes it to us. And so we always enjoy getting them. They make for interesting fodder. And then we also have sort of just other run-of-the-mill governmental cases where we see a pretty heavy volume of sovereign immunity cases and other things involving pleas, government immunity, that type of thing.
I'm happy to be here, by the way. I saw several people that I hadn't seen in a little while, so I'm glad to see you. Thanks for letting me come. In terms of the number of petitions that we get, I don't know how to count that. I don't know that anyone does, in fact, kind of keep up with the types of cases represented by the petitions. We get about 1,000 petitions a year. We end up deciding about 100 cases a year, give or take, about two-thirds of those through oral arguments and the other third on per curiam decisions. But I gave a speech, an update at the advanced government law section just a few weeks ago, and so I actually have the numbers on that, although not specific as to true administrative law judicial review cases. So typically we have about 15 to 20% of the 90 to 100 cases we decide are what I would call a government law case. And I keep up with that and categorize those myself. This past term that we just finished has just been really a strange one for some reason. 27 out of the 85 cases we decided, so one-third of the cases were government law cases. 16 of those were sovereign immunity cases, everything from tort claims to Chapter 271 and so on. And then 6 of them were tax cases, and then we had a PIA case and things like that. I think we had 2 cases that would really sort of fit within an administrative law appeal kind of case. One had to do with exhaustion of remedies requirement for a takings claim, and then the other one had to do with the notice, the SOA, the requirements of due process and the notice that SOA gives. So really only 2 or 3 probably even per year, I would say, that we end up deciding that are true administrative process kinds of cases.
Okay. Let's talk about briefing next. How much of a summary of both the statutes and regs and facts do you guys prefer in the briefing? What kind of mistakes that do you see people making kind of over and over? Do you have any tips for our attendees?
I think we generally like to see a good solid briefing as far as what the statutory scheme is, and in particular sort of an overview of where your particular issue in a case fits within the scheme. I think that's very helpful. At some point when you've beat it to death on the specific statute in question, that can get a little ad nauseum, but I think in general we like to see a good overview.
I feel like on briefing, we've tried to conform our rules more to the courts of appeals rules when it comes to briefing anyway, so you're not having to redo everything many times. So first off that, go ahead and write your brief like you're writing it for the third court when you write it to us. I mean, do most of the page limits and things like that. But what I would say is I never fault a lawyer when they brief the law and brief the facts extensively. I can always tell you I don't need that. I can always not read that. But it's nice. I mean, we have judges who have just started and they've never had a administrative law case. You know, we have such a broad docket and we get people from all areas of the law that I don't think that's ever a bad idea. Now, when an assistant attorney general starts to talk about Heinrich in a plea to the jurisdiction case, I might stop you. And I might go, I've heard about Heinrich before.
Heard of that case.
I've heard of that case. We've had it talked about once or twice. Just because I don't need the facts recited, but I'll do it with tongue in cheek. Like I'm never offended by that. I just think that shows you've prepared and you're ready to make the argument to the judge that you're going to get. So I think extensive briefing and be ready to tell us the law and the facts.